Okay. Lots of references to the angel of the Lord. I want to throw an idea out there that this angel of the Lord is actually Jesus, preeminent, because he was in the beginning, right there with God. Right throughout Scripture, he appears time and time again as, well, he God in the flesh, more than just Jesus, God in the flesh. So I'll throw that idea out there. Okay, who's been for their optician's appointment recently? How'd the eye test go? Good? Funny that, isn't it? Yeah. But who hasn't been for a while and needs to go? How much our perspective changes once we get those new prescription glasses and suddenly things are very clear. Well, here's a thought for us. When I was a Salvation Army officer years ago, I was in, I think it was either in Whangarei or Gisborne, one of the two, and I went to the RSA. This gentleman always wore his glasses on the top of his head. And so I said to him one day, I said, you always seem to wear those glasses on the top of your head. I said, is that a spiritual emphasis that you're trying to portray? And he said, what do you mean? I said, you're trying to keep God in perspective. Okay. We switch over to that passage from 1 John chapter 1. But I'm reading from the Passion Translation. Has a few extra little bits that has added in there. In the beginning, most scholars consider the first 18 verses of John to be the words of an ancient hymn or a poem that was cherished by first century Christians. The living expression, the Greek, the word is logos, which has a rich and varied background in both Greek philosophy and Judaism. The Greeks equated logos with the highest principle of cosmic order. God's logos in the Old Testament conveys his power, self-expression in creation, revelation, and redemption. And in the New Testament, we have this unique view of God given to us by John, which signifies the presence of God himself in the flesh. Some have translated this rich term as word through the Greek term logos, may be rendered word. It would be wrong to think it indicates primarily a lexical unit, word, in a sentence. Logos is more accurately understood as a form of self-revealing or message. Jesus Christ is the eternal message, the creative word and the living expression of God made visible. He is the divine self-expression of all that God is, contains, and reveals in incarnate flesh. Just as we express ourselves in words, God has perfectly expressed himself in Christ. Jesus is God's story. Now, he was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. The living expression, Christ, fully possesses every attribute of deity held by God the Father. The living expression existed eternally as a separate individual, but essentially the same, as one with the Father. They were together, face to face. Now on your computer, you know that if you want to go into a program, what do you click on? You click on a little icon, that's right. So the presence of God in this piece talks about Jesus being face to face. The Greek word used here is the Hebraic concept, conveyed as the best being, is that of being God's face. There is no Hebrew word for presence. The presence of God, only the word face. So the face of God, like what Ethan read out earlier, in the burning bush. How can anyone see God and live? Well, and yet he appeared in flesh in the burning bush. Was that Jesus? Here we are again. In the very beginning, both Genesis 1:1 and John chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, in Genesis, Moses spoke of the beginning of time, but John speaks of the eternal past, a beginning before time existed. The living expression is Christ, who existed eternally as part of the Trinity. He has no beginning and no end, being one with the Father. And through his creative inspiration, this living presence made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. A fountain of life was in him. The Aramaic reads, in him were lives, plural. Not only multiple human lives, but also spiritual life, eternal life, and life in every form. John used the word life, Zoe, 37 times in his gospel. For his life is light for all humanity. Jesus Christ brought the light of eternal life and the full revelation of God. The gospel of John is easily divided into three sections. The life, chapters 1 to 7, light, chapters 8 to 12, and love, chapters 13 to 21. And this light never fails to shine through darkness, light that darkness could not overcome. Suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John, and we know all that to be John the Baptist. For he came as a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the perfect light of truth, or the true light, was coming into the world and shone upon everyone to enlighten everyone. He entered into the world he created. Yet the world was unaware. The world didn't really perceive him to be the one. He came to the people he created, to his own, to the Israel people, to those who should have received him, but they did not recognize him. For those who embraced him and took hold of his name, or those who are putting faith in his name, to lay hold of his name means to believe everything he represents and put into practice what he taught in the power of his name. He gave authority to become the children of God. Wow. How's your perspective now? How's those glasses fitting? Let's push it out a little bit further. Who's been watching The Chosen? It's amazing, really, isn't it? It sort of changes your perspective yet again and makes it a lot more real in how we perceive how God is working in our lives. I know that I've felt drawn closer. Looking back at John chapter 1, as I've mentioned, we now look at Colossians 1, 15 to 20. At the time, 60 to 62 AD, of his letter to the Christians in Colossae, Paul is in prison in Ephesus, 160 kilometers away. The purpose of Paul's letter is to emphasize the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. Jesus is our all in all. This message is entitled The Supremacy of God and of Christ, and as an AI overview states, the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ means that Jesus is the ultimate authority and completely adequate for salvation and the Christian life. He is preeminent over all creation and is self-sufficient for believers' spiritual needs. This concept is central to Christian theology and is emphasized in passages like Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. Supremacy, this refers to Christ's position as the ultimate authority and rule over all things. He is not just a created being, but God himself, the image of the invisible God, and the one through whom all things were created. He is Lord of all, includes angels, authorities, and all of creation. Sufficiency. This emphasizes that Jesus provides everything necessary for salvation and a life pleasing to God. He is the source of life, recollection, reconciliation with God, and the fulfillment of God's plan for humanity. His sacrifice on the cross is the ultimate atonement, and in him, believers have access to forgiveness and new life. Listening to a sermon by Louis Giglio from Passion City Church gave me some tremendous insight into these verses and more focused perspective on how big God in the person of Jesus really is. Who is finding today that your friends at school or your workmates and people you know in the community want to water down just the relevance of Jesus and who he is? In fact, you know, you probably find some of your workmates even use his name as a swear word. It riles me, but anyway, we just continue to love them anyway, don't we? If we look at Colossians chapter 2, we see very clearly, see to it, and particularly in verse 8, we see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and elemental spiritual forces or basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. This is the very reason Paul wrote this letter. But great that the opening of the chapter puts everyone right. The opening of chapter 1, anyway, puts everyone right. In the disciples' day, they asked a very pertinent question. Who is this that even the wind and the rain and the sea obey him? Verses 15 to 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God. This is from Colossians chapter 1. The firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the image, the icon of God, of the invisible God. The enemy loves deception and will do anything to divert our attention away from who Jesus really is. Through the Gospels, we see on numerous occasions when Jesus is confronted by evil spirits. They knew who he was. Get away from us, Son of God. You know, they knew. And yet, you know, God's own people, the Israelites, didn't recognize him. Do you know how precious you are? Do you have that perspective on your life? You are precious because you were created for Jesus and by Jesus. That's how precious you are. Jesus is everything. He is not an animation that originates from God, because he is God from the very beginning. Did you know that you were created by Jesus for Jesus, and God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him? This means that while we are New Zealanders, Kiwis, and born here, we no longer reside in New Zealand, because we reside in his kingdom. It takes a bit to think about, doesn't it? We reside in his kingdom because we are not of this world. We are of the next. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and 20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus takes first place in our lives. He has the supremacy in all that we are and have belongs to him. Everything that Jesus is in you. How's your perspective going now? Has it rubbed all that dust off those lenses? Use some of the old lens cleaner. In verse 18, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, which is us. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, but also everything in between. Everything in between. He is the firstborn from among the dead. And what does that mean, you ask? There was only one thing that Jesus needed to accomplish in his physical coming to earth, and that was to break the power of sin and death. So he was the firstborn from the dead. So that's why when Jesus died, buried, and rose again, the day he arose, that earthquake, all the graves of the believers who had gone before, for many years, millennia before, they all rose and they were seen in Jerusalem, because the power of death was broken at the point of Jesus' death on the cross. I like how the Passion Translation puts it. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of his glory, the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Jesus is greater than anything or anyone else in the world. Nothing compares to him. If you are exploring anything spiritual and it doesn't lead to Jesus, drop it. If it doesn't lead you back to searching the word, drop it. Because ultimately, he is the only Savior. Let's take this to a different level of understanding. Who's into science? Who likes science? Have you ever heard of a laminin? Can we have that picture? That cell is laminin. And the purpose of laminin is this. Laminin is a large extracellular matrix protein shaped like a cross, crucial for cell adhesion, migration, and tissue organization. It is a heterotrimer, meaning it's made up of three polypeptide chains. A, B, and Y. Okay, so, but it's, when you look at that structure, it holds our cells together at a biomolecular level. So not only does Jesus have the purpose and way for us to find God through the cross, he's right there when we were first created. The purpose of this laminin not only holds us together, it has for cell adhesion, it's for cell migration, it's also a reason why when someone is diagnosed with cancer, it moves on and metastasizes. So that's one of the reasons why it metastasizes, is because of the link with the laminin. It is a basement membrane formation and tissue organization. And it's your laminin is for the developmental and differential part of the embryos and the organs. So we are not only held together by God in this fellowship, but we're also individually held together by Christ through chemistry and through science. Jesus is the one who created you and gave you purpose, and he will hold you together, not only spiritually, but physically as well. He is sufficient in every way to provide whatever you need. So trust him. How big is our God? He's huge, and yet he deals with the microscopic. Is your sight improving now? There is a song I've been listening to by Seven Hills Worship called Nothing Is. And these are the lyrics. Only one can lead me through the fire. And on the other side, I won't be burned. Only one can triumph in the battle. My deliverer, my deliverer. Mountains move and get out of your way. Darkness trembles at the sight of your name. Nothing is impossible for you. There is no ocean that can't be stilled, broken body that can't be healed. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. And only you can live up to the stories, the miracles and wonders that you do. And I believe before my story's over, I will see them too. I will see them too. Yeah. Mountains move and get out of your way. Darkness trembles at the sound of your name. Nothing is impossible for you. There is no ocean that can be stilled, that can't be stilled. Nothing is impossible for you. There's no ocean that can't be stilled. Broken body that can't be healed. Nothing is impossible for you. There's no other mystery to be revealed, because it's already been revealed. The mystery is that Jesus is preeminent. He was there from the beginning. Christ is our message. This is verses 28 and 29 from the Passion Translation. Christ is our message we preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into full understanding of truth. It has become my inspiration and passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with this power flowing through me to present every believer the revelation of being perfect, of being his perfect one in Christ. Jesus and me, everything is changing. He wants to change all of our relationships, all of our attitudes. He has delivered us from our selfish ambitions. And as it says in the start of chapter 3, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Further on in chapter, Paul outlines things even closer to home within our relationships, placing a new template for our lives and how we even as a church relate together. Today, what perspective holds you to this Christian faith that we profess? Where are you at with the prescription that Jesus has given you for your life? Does it need a bit of lens cleaner? In conclusion, I want to use the words of David the psalmist, Psalm 121, again from the Passion Translation. I look up to the mountains and hills, longing for God's help. But then I realize that our true help and protection is only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. He will guard and guide me, never letting me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget nor ignore me. He will never slumber nor sleep. He is the guardian God for his people Israel. Yahweh himself will watch over you. He's always at your side to shelter you safely in his presence. He's protecting you from all danger, both day and night. He will keep you from every form of evil or calamity, and he is continuously watching over you. You will be guarded by God himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and he'll protect you forevermore. Today, what are you going to do with your perspective of God? Are you going to share it with your friends, family, neighbor? He's a big God. He can take all the abuse. Sometimes our bodies might not be able to take the abuse that sometimes we perceive that we might receive. But let's not be frightened of sharing the word of God with those around us and with those whom we love.